Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to the Brownstone on the Voices of Hope Radio Network, and I am your host, Tracy B. And tonight, you know, I will be rocking this mic as always with content that is empowering, inspiring, and transforming. So guess what? Grab your favorite beverage, find that favorite chair, and join the conversation. And also, welcome to the Brownstone, y'all.
If you love to read, you are in. If you love to read, you are in the right place. The Sisters of Literature is an interactive, multi-platform book club. Each month, we bring together passionate readers to review, discuss, share experiences, and inspiring stories about this month's book. Throughout the month, there are social media discussions and live chats that readers can join. So head on over to Facebook and join Sisters of Literature today.
This fall and winter, flu viruses and COVID-19 may both spread. It's more important than ever to reduce the risk of flu for yourself, your family, and your community. And getting a flu shot is one way to do that. The flu shot is safe for all ages and all health conditions, and is free to all Indigenous people because we tend to have higher health risks than others.
I got a great story to tell you. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and 2020 had been rough. So Santa decided the season couldn't be merry without the one and only Mariah Carey.
This Christmas, we could all use a little magic.
Welcome back to the Brownstone, and I am your host, Tracy B. And I want to encourage you, like I always do at the beginning of the show, to make sure that you connect with the Voices of Hope Radio Network on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I don't know about you, but all I want for Christmas is COVID-19 to be gone. Can we say that? That's all I want for Christmas is COVID-19 to be gone. So that could be the best thing that happens if they say, okay, we have a vaccination shot and it's going to work and we don't have to wear these masks no more. That's all I want for Christmas. I don't know about you, but can you believe that we have like 32 days, I think, before we are in 2021. Wow. It's been an incredible year. It's been different for all of us. It's been challenging, but guess what? We made it through it. So, you know, each and every week, I try to come to you with whatever's happening in the month of November. So the month of November actually happens to be National Family Caregiving Month. This is a time to recognize and honor. I want to honor family caregivers across the country, across the world, across just the room from me. But I want to honor them because it's so often that we don't understand what it takes to be a caregiver until we have to care for our loved ones. So, you know, being in that situation and having to take care of a loved one, it was an honor to do it, first of all, but it is challenging. It is very challenging. And in that time, you have to remember that you have to also take care of yourself. So if you know anybody that's being a caregiver at this time, take this time to just, you know, check on them. Like I tell you about everybody else, take this time to check on them, you know, raise the awareness about caregiving issues, educate, make sure that you get educated in the community and so that we can increase the support or be supporters to those that are actually caring for their loved ones. Here are six things. Here are six things that we have to take care of right now. Here are six things that we have to take care of right now, which are simply as a caregiver, you can make sure that your identity, that you need to make sure that you have your identity is needed to be documented in the loved one's medical record. So that's one key thing. The second thing is your ability to provide care to the loved one should be assessed. So if you can't do it and it's too much for you, just make sure that you get the help that is needed for your loved one. Your ability to provide care should be incorporated into your love and one's love care plan. So what you're getting ready to do, make sure that you incorporate it too, because, you know, a lot of times as for our parents, the last thing they want to do is be a burden upon you. So, you know, it's a change for everybody, even them that's going through it. Make sure that you get the medical training that is needed. Make sure that is needed, especially the ones that you are responsible for. So, for example, if you're supposed to change their bandage, whether you're supposed to give them a shot, whatever you're supposed to do for your loved one, make sure that you get that training. Next, you should relate to, you know, make sure that you deal with, understand, and find the community resources that are available to you. And then this is the most important of them all, you know, make sure that you are given access to the medical records and information that is needed. So those are just some quick things that I wanted to let you know, but also just to make sure that you are aware that this is National Family Caregiving Month. Anyone you know that is in this particular situation, give them a call out. Give them a break. I know we're supposed to be social distancing, but drop them a nice basket by or anything else. But this is something that I am really, 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 really excited about. Each and every time we talk about the Sisters of Literature Book Club. Oh, my God, it is just so much awesome things that are happening through the book club, but I wanted to take this time to invite you to a holiday book exchange. Now, I know you say, Tracy, what are you talking about? But this is simple, a simple thing that we're doing, and it brings a lot of joy because if you enjoy reading, so does everyone else around you. And, you know, you got a few books on your shelf, books that are good that you read, maybe some that you bought and that you didn't read. It's okay. Bring them to the Holiday Book Exchange. So it's more information on the Voices of Hope Radio Network Facebook page. So I encourage you to go to the page and join in, register, and join us on Saturday, December 19th from 4 to 5 p.m. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Excited about the open house today?
Just got to check my credit at Credit Karma first. It's free.
Whoa! Checking will lower your score. We'll never get out of here.
Actually, checking your credit score with Credit Karma never lowers it at all.
Really?
Yep.
Maybe I should check my credit. Oh.
Credit Karma. Get knowing.
The holidays are a time of joy and merriment. But for some, the holiday season isn't about cheer. It's a time of depression, anxiety, loneliness, and self-evaluation. Hi, I'm Peter Clendenning. I'd like to talk to you about seasonal depression, or better known as seasonal affective disorder. It's a type of depression that occurs as the days grow shorter in the fall and winter. For single people, it can be particularly tough.
Suicide
is the main risk factor of seasonal affective disorder. With nearly 400,000 suicides happening every year in the United States alone, with it being most prevalent among whites, with the exception of Native Americans and Alaskans. While 3 times more women than men attempt suicide, 4 times more men than women actually kill themselves. More than half of the suicides in the U.S. are with guns. Some symptoms include tiredness, fatigue, depression, overeating, and crying spells. Changes in eating patterns, changes in sleeping patterns, lessened interest in activities, feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, thoughts of suicide, general changes in behavior, not being themselves, for instance. With a watchful eye on our family and friends, we can end seasonal affective disorder. So keep your eyes and ears open, and let's make this holiday a happy one.
Welcome back to the Brownstone, and I am your host, Tracy B. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. You guys know that I always love to give out this infomercial right quick, simply reminding you that this is a time of year when family love to get together, but we all understand what we're going through in 2020. But be sure to check on your friends, check on your family, check on your coworkers, because this time of year for some are incredibly challenging. You know, a lot of things tend to happen, seems to like around the holidays. You know, we loved ones have gone on and maybe a missing, you know, place at the table this holiday season. People tend to get depressed, they overeat, but whatever it is, check on your loved ones. Take the time out to do just that. Today, it is my pleasure to introduce to the Brownstone family, not really introduce to the Brownstone family, but welcome him to the Brownstone family. You know, we have a new addition. I don't even want to say a new addition, but we have someone that I just have learned to love. You know, he's an awesome young man. He's an entrepreneur, at heart. He's a mentor. He's all those great things. Ladies, he's actually a good catch, but I think he's taken. But I want to see exactly how he liked the brownstone, you know, what happened there, you know, how was he, you know, how did he like, you know, his visit in the brownstone, which rooms did he go in? Did he go to the game room? Did he stop by the library? Or, you know, last week or the week before, we was in the kitchen learning so much. So I'm going to welcome Lamar Burrell to the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Are you there with me? Have you stepped into the studio yet?
I am here. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I am doing great.
You're doing great. Okay, so that means you didn't eat too much turkey at the table this past week. You know,
I actually turned the plate down, so I did pretty okay. I'm on this.
You did pretty okay.
Yeah, I'm on this. I actually was at 290 pounds as of June, and as of last week, I'm down to like 253. So I've kind of been changing my eating habits, and I also started taking sea moss. So Thanksgiving I wasn't so excited about, you know, pigging out. I was really excited about change that I am doing overall inside my body, as far as
well. You know what?
So yeah,
that's great. That's great, because what I have to say is, you know what, I've been looking at your Facebook and your Instagram page, and I kind of like just noticed that. I say, that bro, he's doing something over there. You know, he looking a little different, but now I know the secret. I know the secret. Mm-hmm. So I want to welcome you to the Brownstone, but if you've been following us, you know that this is a time where I love to get my audience to get to know you. So I just ask you a few, you know, fun questions. You know, we just want to lighten up the air and have a good time. So let's start with this one. What is the worst misspelling of your last name that you've seen?
Misspelling. Normally people do B-U-R-E-L. Or it's B-U-R-R-E-L, and it's like Burl. And it's like, what? No, it's Burrell.
Okay, all right. So are you related to Kim Burrell, or is that last name spelled a little different? I'm just asking. Mind wants to know.
Everyone asks me that same question. No, we're not related, like, down through family. But we know of each other. So every time we see each other, we always say, hey, cuz. But I work in that industry field, so we have some type of familiar with each other. But we know we're not related.
Okay, so here's the fun question, right? So, and this will really tell what era you grew up in. So who is the most reliable person that will take their shoes off when singing? Patti LaBelle, Mary J. Blige, Fantasia, or the leader of the church choir?
I would say Fantasia, but then again, I mm-hmm. also feel like it's the leader of the church choir.
And so I've seen Fantasia take, you know, Patti LaBelle take her shoes off. The only one I haven't seen take their shoes off was Mary J. Blige. But it doesn't mean that she doesn't take them off. But that was a fun question. So here's the second one. Who is the best group to ever come out of Atlanta? TLC, Outkast, or Escape?
TLC.
Are you a TLC fan? All right.
Don't go
chasing
waterfalls
with. That's it. That is definitely it. So here's a good one. So I really hope that your mom's not listening. So what salad dressing can you find in her refrigerator? Blue cheese, French, Thousand Island, or ranch?
Thousand Island.
I know. I think everybody's mom's kitchen has Thousand Island in it. I don't know what it is about that.
Because,
my
mom's going to change her eating, so ranch and all that other stuff, I don't think she'll eat that.
You don't think she eat that? But you could find
you could find some Thousand Island there. And if you just said vinaigrette, I would have said vinaigrette.
Oh, yeah, that's good. So let me ask you this. So if you didn't play this game as a kid, you really didn't have a childhood. Oregon Trail, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
so you like video games? I see. Okay, all right.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and so my last and final question of my fun facts to get to know my guests, and I ask everyone this last question. Sum up 2020 in 10 words or less.
10 words or less. Tragedy, push, and faith.
Tragedy, you know, usually I would go straight to the commercial break after this, but I'm going to have to get you to explain some of those words. Tragedy, breakthrough, push, and faith. I think I got the faith part, and even maybe the tragedy part a little bit, but the push part. The push part. So what happened during this time that I'm assuming that for you, you had to push your way through something?
So a lot of times I think we as the body of, you know, that we live here on this earth, a lot of times we sit and we contemplate on life decisions until something physically happens to force us to do something, to change. So, the push is this. Before the pandemic, we were all, I'm just going to relax on this. I'm going to take my time on this. But in the pandemic, we had to go through trials and tribulations and push our way through it. So if from March 2020 to now, if you have overcome from March 2020 to now, you pushed your way through the most tremendous pandemic this world would ever have said in history. You know, as far as jobs, as far as bills, as far as, you know, not having food, people were out of work, people were laid off, people didn't know how they were going to pay bills. But the matter of the fact is, this is now November going into December, and you made it. We all made it. It was probably rough in March. It was probably rough in April. We probably lost some loved ones. We didn't know how we was going to make it in April up until now, but we pushed through and we severed through it.
Wow. And see, guys, that's why his business name is Vision to Destiny. He just simply put that so eloquently and so beautiful on how we pushed our way through from March 2020 up until now. So we're going to be right back after this commercial break.
Right now, I have 25 minutes to look at new ingredients.
20 minutes to look at this prototype.
7 minutes to look over contracts.
6 minutes to look at other ingredients.
If I were Dad, what would I want for Christmas? What the? Wait, I'm Dad?
Morning, Dad.
Oh, hi there. Whoa.
There you go, Dave.
See you, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave. See you next week.
Hey, puppy.
Hey.
Oh, Dad sure spends a lot of time on his feet.
Thank you, baby girl. They're perfect.
Like a river to a teardrop, like a mountain to a stone, I'm all alone, yet right where I belong. Standing on the runway, it's time you notice me. Don't let my seat still be taken, I'm begging please. All I wanna know is, this is bad time, running through the snow. The landmine, nothing ever comes as easy as looking.
Welcome back to the show, and I am your host, Tracy B. And as you listen to the lyrics of the song, you simply hear it says that a caterpillar never reaches its full potential. So as tonight we're talking about In Pursuit of Destiny with our guest, Lamar Burrell of Vision to Destiny Entertainment. So welcome, Lamar, back again. Thank you for participating in the game. And so I want to start off simply by asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, a little bit about me. I am a business major. I graduated from Chain University. I have a degree in business management. I have four beautiful, amazing children. I am a church boy at heart. I love church. I love working in church. I love music. When I was a little boy, I played the violin, and I also played the trumpet. And being a part of the musical side of what I do now, I just always had a heart for music, always had a heart for artists, always had a heart to sing, but I can't sing. And so I fell in love with working behind the scenes of artist music career. So that's what I do now. That's a little bit of me in a nutshell. I love sports. I love to work out. That's like my new hobby.
The working out part, you know, yeah, mm-hmm. That's going to be a lot of our new hobbies once, you know, we really begin to take a look at ourselves. So, you know, but I'm excited to hear all that you're doing about your beautiful four kids, so you can definitely relate to whatever they give you on Christmas morning. It's fine with you. Fine with me, whatever they give me, because we know that it's a big deal. And whenever anybody gives you a gift, it's a big deal. So, but especially from those that you love the most, those little young folks there. So we're talking about In Pursuit of Destiny, which means that you accepted the call and the challenge that was on your life, right? And so you talk about how was, you said Vision to Destiny Entertainment was birthed out of your being able not to sing, you know, being on the mic to working behind the mic. I guess I wanna say that. So, you know, for me, I can't sing either. So I know that, you know, but I love to sing. They just say make a joyful noise. That's what they tell us in church. Mm-hmm. Just make a joyful noise. Mm-hmm. But I figured I was just making a joyful noise until my friends told me otherwise. So Vision to Destiny, how old is the organization, your company?
So Vision to Destiny was founded in 2012. So I want to say, about a couple of years now.
Okay.
I started out with my late Bishop, Bishop Eric McDaniel. He used to sing with J.J. Harrison and Youth of Praise, the song when they first came out. It's called After This. He's the lead singer on it, on the original album. And then at the time, J.J.'s former manager was Kelvin Leach with Lox Entertainment. And so being around that scene, it was just like, oh, wow, this is amazing. Like being able to book, being able to travel, sing, you know, the whole get on the flight, doing the itinerary for the artists, making sure they're prepared, making sure everything on the road is just like there for them. They don't have to worry about anything. I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is something I would love to do. So at that time, I, you know, talked to Bishop and he introduced me to Kelvin. Kelvin was like, listen, I had a mentor. If this is something that you really want to put your foot in, you have to show that you really want it. So Kelvin just had me on this trial where he'll say, hey, Ty or JJ is here somewhere. If you want to, you know, this is where it is. If you're here, let's work. If you don't show up, then I know you don't really want this. So I did that for a couple of years. And, you know, he brought me onto his team. I'll travel out with him and, you know, be with his artists and stuff like that. And I just felt I began to really feel the love for it. And so I prayed about it. I couldn't come up with a name. I was like, oh, I should start my own thing. I couldn't come up with a name. One morning I jumped up and Vision to Destiny came to my thought process. And it's simply exactly what it says, vision to destiny, taking someone's vision, who is an artist, talent, whoever you are, taking your career, taking your vision to the highest heights, which is destiny. You know, wherever you envision it to go, that's where Lamar Burrell and Vision to Destiny will pursue and try to make it happen. In this pandemic, we have faced a lot of things when it comes to industry. So, you know, as far as artists, things kind of declined, but keeping artists in the light of media, social media and stuff like that has been the new forte. So this is just something that I love to do. I love to take someone's vision and just and put it in my hands and be a part of their team and watch their career be successful. So, yeah.
So what type of artists do you work with? Do you work with all genres of music or just a specific genre?
So right now I work with just gospel artists. I'm interested to work with other artists in different genres. I would love to have a rap artist, an R&B artist, a neo-soul artist, a jazz artist, because those lanes of industry is totally different when it comes to gospel and stuff like that. So different avenues that they have that gospel don't have. So I like to also be, you know, learn new things. So having that type of artist is something, a field that I would jump in and have to kind of learn. Networking is not a problem for me. So networking in those lanes, I wouldn't see it as, you know, something I wouldn't be able to face or up for the challenge or something like that. So a lot, again, to answer your question, a lot of my artists I do have now are definitely gospel artists.
So when you look for artists or look someone comes for you for representation or to manage them, what do you look for in them? What makes you say, okay, I'm going to take on this person?
That's a good question. A lot of times, to be honest, I look for, when an artist comes to me, I first ask, you know, what are they looking for? Sometimes people don't understand the difference between a manager and a booking manager. A booking manager is someone who takes you, your name, throws you out there to different churches, different promoters, try to get you booked. A manager is someone actually that's going to take your career and map it out for you. So if you ever think of a web, you know, when I was in school, we did like a web. So we drew the circle and you'll put you in the middle and then you draw different arms around that one circle. That's mm-hmm. what a manager does. So the manager takes your music, and if you are an artist and also you do poetry or you're also an author, I'll take those aspects of you and make it branches so people know more about you, just not the lane of the church. So, you know, a lot of artists just say, hey, I want to be I'm an artist, but I just want to strictly stay in the church. No, you have to have arms. You have to get other people to know who you are. So what I look at is the marketing side. What does your social media look like? Do you have a following? Where do I have to begin when it comes to groundwork? Do I have to start with you and getting people to know who you are as an artist? Is this your first song? How many songs have you put out prior to this that you're working on now? Are you affiliated with a church? Do you have a strong church base? Do you have supporters as far as family? Do you have supporters as far as a small team? Those are the things that I kind of look at, because if none of these things kind of add up, it's really hard for me to do my job, because I'm going to have to really start from ground up to get things going. Majority of times, I'm not really looking into if you have an amazing voice, if you can sing loops around people. That's really not what I kind of look for. I kind of look for a person who is willing to fight and go through the trenches when it comes to being an artist. People don't know a lot of times behind the scene there's a lot, and you have to be willing to not give up. There's a lot of artists out here nowadays So you may get 100 no's, but on that 101 person that you talk to, you may get one yes. So you have to be able to you have to be willing to stand in this gospel industry and take on the heat sometimes. And so if you are that person, then I'm willing to work with you, you know, when it comes to being your manager. So that's what I kind of look for. I really don't reach out to artists. Majority of times they reach out to me, and I kind of take them on and kind of, you know, see what their background looks like. That's about, you know, that's really what I do. At first, in the beginning, when I first started, I was looking for artists. I wanted to stay with a small number, and probably, you know, between like 1 to 3 artists and stuff like that. But I kind of opened up because the workload that I have now is also the kind of same structure or marketing plan that I use. So I'm okay with, you know, opening it to where I have it now. But I don't see myself adding more based on who I have now. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I know those that are listening that was hoping to, you know, knock on your door and tap and take a look at me, y'all. That doesn't mean not to send you anything. It just means that you had a standstill.
No, and that's what I also tell people. I'm majority of times when I bring on artists, I bring people on for contracts. Now, what I have started doing as of last month, I have brought people on as I consult with you. So what I do is I give you a plan, a marketing plan to help you with if you want to bring, you know, release an album, release a single. I'm always reachable. I don't never shade people away or, you know, turn people away. I always try to figure out how to help or who I can bring on to help you to get you to the next level or wherever you're trying to go. But as far as like locking on a year contract with a client, that's kind of, you know, it would have to really depend. But I do get calls, I do get emails, and I'm willing to definitely, you know, have conference calls and have consultations with people to see what I can do to help them.
Well, so you said you get calls, but you didn't answer my email back when I sent you my voice, when I sent you my tape. Was it that bad or what? I mean, I'm just joking. I didn't send you anything, but, you know, I love to try to sing, so I was just wondering any way I can get in. But you mentioned that Bishop Eric McDaniel was, I guess he played a vital role in you doing Vision to Destiny, but I wanted to ask you this question. What were some of his strongest characteristics, and what did you pick up on? What have you absorbed or learned from him by him being your mentor?
So Bishop was the artist. My mentor was Kelvin, which is he's the CEO of Lox Entertainment. So the biggest thing that I have learned from Kelvin is it's probably to everybody else, it's probably like, no, that's not the biggest thing you have learned. But the biggest thing I have learned from him is coming back to your art. So if an artist asks you, hey, I want to get this done. I want my song to be played in the airport, or I want my song to be played at the Giants game, or I want to sing at the national anthem. The biggest thing I learned with Kelvin is the word I can't. Don't ever say I can't or you couldn't get something done for your artist. So meaning if your artist asks you to do something, you find if you can't get your artist at the Giants game, you worked your way and got your client to the Jets game. Like it had to be something done that your client semi wanted. It wasn't just like, okay, well, couldn't get you on the national anthem, so scratch that. Let's move on to the next thing, because his motto was, if you can't do it, they're going to find somebody else that can. And so that stuck to me. So anytime I sit down with clients, we come up with a marketing plan. We come up with a vision. We come up with a 3 to 6, 9, 12 month plan. And whatever we put down on paper, I strongly try to get everything accomplished. It may not fall in that same time frame, but we have a plan of action that we're definitely trying to pursue and get things accomplished. So that was the biggest thing I learned with him. Kelvin is very integral when it comes to his artists. That's what I learned. Being a serving your artist, that's also something I learned from him. If, you know, especially when they're on the road, the artists are, they don't have to worry about anything. They have an itinerary when they land. They know what hotel they're staying at. They know what time to sound check. They know their ground transportation. It's just, everything just moves swiftly, working and learning from Kelvin. And so those, all those characteristics is stuff that I do now on a daily basis when I'm with clients. So set up a call, send itineraries, and those things. So that's definitely a lot of positive that I learned from Kelvin.
Oh, well, that's good, because that also transforms over to life. Don't ever say that you can't. I don't know that you'll find a way. Mm-hmm. It may not be your exact plan or the way that you planned it out, but the response is not, I can't. It's not going to happen. It may not look exactly how you think it was going to look, but it's going to happen, you know. So from just listening to you, is like, if you can't get that, what's the alternative? What's the next best thing? And so they call it
pivot. Mm-hmm. So, and that was, this is something I had to learn, because I used to always hear somebody, everybody would say it. They'll say it's called pivot. So it's just learning how to turn a different direction, but still making that direction work, still making that plan work. So it's called pivot. So that's what the term we kind of use in when it comes to industry. And it works. Oh, it really works.
It works. So I know that we hear a lot of times where artists say that, you know, they don't get, you know, what they deserve. I guess I want to just ask you, how has the industry changed since you've been involved, since your company's opened up? How has it changed?
Industry, you talking about now throughout this pandemic? Or just
now throughout the pandemic, but since you started and like over the years that you've been there, just how has it changed? Because I heard that the music industry can be brutal. I heard that, you know, you hear all these stories, but, you know, I just wonder, how has it changed, and what safeguards do you set up for your clients? Because a lot of times we hear about, oh, they didn't pay their, maybe that's actors and actors, but anyway, they didn't pay their taxes, they didn't do this, they didn't do that, you know, like the case with TLC and all that stuff that happened like that. But what safeguards would you recommend to the client to make sure that they have, whether they're under you or anybody else? You know, what safeguards
set
in place?
The biggest thing I have learned is having an entertainment lawyer. So having a lawyer, when it comes to contracts, when it comes to your publishing, if you are an artist that writes, licensing, music licensing. So say, for example, you have a song and it's played on BET. You want to make sure that BET streams over a million networks. So you want to make sure that song that was played on BET, you want to get yourself a check somehow, some way, because they made money off of that song. So that comes into music licensing. When it comes to publishing, if somebody sings a song that you wrote, you want to make sure that your publishing company has some type of awareness. And you also want to make sure that your entertainment lawyer is present when it comes to signing contracts. You don't want to sign anything without talking to an attorney. So a lot of times, I'll go back. So when I first started, the music industry was about CDs. If we know now, this is 2020, CDs are no more. People don't even buy CDs no more. So back then, it was units being sold. So Ty Tribbett would have sold maybe 5,000 units. So that means people bought 5,000 CDs from Ty Tribbett to make, you know, who he is, make him, you know, his album do amazing on Billboard, that type of thing. Now it has changed to people don't buy music like that no more. People don't buy CDs. Everybody streams the song. So now it's based on streaming numbers. So you can have a song and it has over a million streams. Okay, great. You had a people listen to your song, but people really didn't buy the song. So the streaming and what they have done now is made streaming streaming has now become turned into money. So off the top of my head, I don't have a calculator in front of me, but basically if you have 1,000 streams, it's 1,000 times 0.08. So it's 8% off those streaming numbers. So whatever that is, that's what your kind of your total would be based on that song. So pushing streams is like the biggest thing that has happened in the industry. People do buy, you know, off Apple and stuff like that, but everybody has Apple. They have, Spotify. They have Google Play. So nowadays, things have definitely transitioned when it comes to purchasing music. So that was the biggest thing that I have seen working in the industry when I first started up until now. And then again, as far as having a lawyer, entertainment lawyer present, having your team, a publishing company or a publisher, and also having someone there with you to make sure as far as all your music and everything that you put out as far as licensing is taken care of. I have heard, you know, stories back in the day that people have, you know, they lost out and stuff like that because back then they really wasn't, you know, concerned about that. They had a team and they just felt like, okay, the team would get things done. The team could have did, you know, did this, did that, and they don't have any documentation to go back on them to say this was taken care of. So, I have heard stories too, but I try to make sure that, you know, when artists come to me, everything is taken care of as far as copyright, as far as the business side of things that people really don't see when artists are advertising or trying to get people to purchase their music. So, yeah.
That's a lot. So it seems like I understand now why you want to say that, you know, I got to get a team to help. I got to, you know, I can see how you can quickly become overwhelmed. So this is one of the things, you know, we've been talking on because I don't want to run out of time because I have so many questions. But one of the things I want to bring up, you know, lately they've been doing these things. I guess they call them verses, right? This person against this, that, this person against this person. So in the gospel world, who would you like to see? Who do you think will make a good matchup?
So, to be honest, I think the biggest one for me has happened because I'm a fan of both of them, and it was Bishop Walker and John P. Key. I'm a diehard fan of John P. Key. My grandmother would have John P. Key songs, and I would just listen to that on her cassette player all day long. And then Bishop Walker is another favorite of mine, and all his songs to me are like hits. So those two, they definitely kind of matched up really well. That's something I have loved to see. Say one now, I honestly would probably say Donnie McClurkin and I'm trying to think of someone back in the day. Donnie and dang, she is a woman. I can't think of her name.
I'm still stuck on Bishop Walker and John P. Key because those are two of my favorite people too. Sitting here like, this hit with that hit and that hit with that hit. So kind of like it just really would work out, really would be a great thing. So in your pursuit to your destiny, what were some of the challenges that you faced?
So the challenges that I faced, I faced lost. Going through life and going through different transitions and allowing certain things to happen in my life, I lost a few artists that, you know, being in the industry, if you're not you know, doing things the right way or in a private way when it comes to industry or when it comes to life or whatever. People always say what you do in the dark comes to light. And having artists and doing certain things, it can also affect you and it also can affect them. So those were the challenging things when it came to me because I just felt like, you know, what I do behind the scenes is my business, but I didn't see it as, oh, hey, it's also affecting you. So those were things I had to learn when I was like a baby in this field. And of course, we're not all perfect, but I also have to remember that who I represent and who I'm a part of or who is with me, whatever I do also, you know, represents them, vice versa. So that was a challenge that I had to learn, I had to face, I had to humble me, I had to make some changes, and I had to do things the right way, and so that I can be completely healed of things and also be there for, you know, other people when they're going through and stuff like that. So I had to face some breakdown and some turmoil and have things snatched away just for me to build myself back up. And if it wasn't for God, I really don't know the outcome of it. But I had to really go through some challenges that helped me be who I am today. So that's why I really say people are really, you know, they hate 2020 and stuff like that. But 2020 has been a blessing and a curse at the same time. But overall for me, it was a big blessing. A lot of things that, you know, I've been going through the last couple of years, 2020 came and it wiped it away. Yeah, so I really, you know, everybody jumps on 2020, but I really can just thank God for what he has done in 2020 for me so far. And it's still, I want to say, I think, 34, 35 more days left in this year, and I'm expecting God to do some more amazing things. So, yeah.
And you know, what's so neat what you say about that, what happens in the background or in the dark comes to the light. It's true in no matter what aspect you're in. And we have to remember, whether we're business leaders, whether we're leaders in church, leaders in our family, it all comes back around. It doesn't stop there. So don't think that you got away with it for a moment, but it's coming back around to meet you some way and somehow that, you know, life just happens. So I am so excited that you was on the show. But really quickly, I know something that's dear to your heart, and I want to get it in there right quick, is a mentoring program. I think that you want to mentor young men, or can you tell us a little bit about that?
So, yeah, and I'll try to definitely do this. And I think this is something, this is somewhat emotional, like talking at the same time, because I really want to be able to, like, really open and tell people about my story and what I went through in life, because I think it's needed. I think a lot of times we close things and we hide things behind curtains and we just try to run life like normal. But sometimes getting things out there, you know, people always want to throw your name out on the bed, but sometimes letting people hear your story and seeing the outcome is definitely something that needs to be heard. But yes, I definitely want to start this mentor program for young men. I was a young man who was raised in a home by my mom only. My dad was present, but my dad wasn't in home. My mom did get married to my stepfather, who is a great stepdad. But going through those transitions of life as a young man, there wasn't a male figure in the home to definitely try to be, you know, I just feel like a male figure in the home when you're being raised is like, it's totally different when it comes to mom. So I had, this came to me in regards to young men not being raised by their dad, or their dad is not in their life, just being there for them, being an advocate for them. You know, you have women that are raised by their mom and their dad, and they're like, okay, a man got to pay the bills. A man should open your door. A man should, you should never walk on the, you know, the outside of the curb. A man should always walk on the outside. You walk on the inside, and things like that. So if a young man doesn't have a male role model in their life, they will never know these things. And not saying, yes, the man should definitely, you know, pay all the bills. I think that's a, you know, that's a husband and wife situation. If they go half on whatever the bills is for the month, that's a situation that I think that could kind of be worked out. But my focus is definitely being a mentor to young men, being able to tell them about life situations, how they can overcome life situations, how it is to be a young man, how to be a successful young man. You don't have to always be on the corner. You can go to school and become someone or become the something. So that's my goal to 2021. I definitely want to reach out to young men. I want to have a community of young men that we go to games, we go out to eat, and I just pour into them and possibly have other men with me that embrace these young men together and let them know that they can become whoever they want to become in life. So yeah, just that was just a little nutshell of what I want to definitely do.
Right. So really quick, and I mean really, really quick before we run out of time, can you tell us how to get in touch with you?
So I am definitely on Facebook as Lamar Burrell. So it's LAMAR. And my last name is Burrell, BURRELL. And I'm also on social, Instagram at underscore Lamar Burrell. And then my business page on Instagram is Vision, V-I-S-I-O-N, the number 2, Destiny, D-E-S-T-I-N-Y-E-N-T. And that's, you can follow me on Instagram, also on Facebook. And then, you know, I'm always reachable. My contact information is there. My email is there. So definitely follow me. I'll follow back. And we can always, you know, catch up and talk. I'm very sociable. So, yeah. And I appreciate you, Ms. Tracy, for definitely having me on your show.
No problem. I want to thank you for stopping by. Also, our listeners for joining in the conversation. I invite you back next week, but be sure to make sure that you go to the Voices of Hope Radio Network. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And guess what, guys? We're going to rock on out with our theme song, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.